Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from home-baked Grand's Biscuits from Pillsbury, now also available in your grocer's freezer. Make as many as you need to warm up your morning. With a breakfast this grand, home is calling. And by the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your Sleep Number.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. Indian summer in Lake Wobegon, and it was Halloween here just last night. Kind of amazing this year, because amidst all of those little hobos and little witches and goblins and princesses and all the others, there were a whole bunch of big, tall people. Many of them with no costumes at all, and some of them with no masks, just a bandana over their mouths, like bank robbers. Big people coming around to your door and holding out pillowcases and saying, trick or treat. Was this part of Halloween? Did I miss something? Have the rules changed or something? But in Lake Wobegon, they just go along with it. They just dump candy into your pillowcase, even though you shouldn't be there. Because these are people trapped in politeness. These are people imprisoned in the golden rule. Although the golden rule doesn't really have much relevance, does it? When somebody is doing something that you yourself would never do, then how can you be doing unto them as you wish they would do unto you when you wouldn't have been doing that? But people in Lake Wobegon have lost the language of social rejection. And so they have become victims to pushy people and to bullies. It just is the case. They have lost the ability to look at another person and say, get out of here. You've lost that, haven't you? It's gone. You're unable to say that. Let me hear you say that. Get out of here. No, you don't mean that. There was no... Let me hear you say it. Get off the stage. Just hear me say that. Silly. How silly. You're just joking. You don't mean that. We didn't come here to hear you.
We didn't come here to hear you.
See, you've lost that. You've lost that. That's going to be a big problem for you sometime in the future. Let me tell you, Indian summer, it's a beautiful time of year, so people do tend to be lulled into complacency and thinking that they live in a peaceful world full of peaceful people. But because they look around and they see this gorgeous time, there was snow on Sunday, and it was cold. The snow did not stay around, but it fell, so winter kind of put its marker on us in a little way. And it was cold and gray on into Monday, and then later in the week it got up into the 60s, which is Indian summer. It's that first big warm period right after the first serious frost. It doesn't come every year, and it doesn't last very long, sometimes only a couple of days, but it's a beautiful, beautiful time of year. It's like having a love affair after your first heart attack. Which happens sometimes in Lake Wobegon. There was a man who grew up in Lake Wobegon, and then he went away and he did well for himself, a little bit too well, and he suffered his heart attack. Eugene Rose was his name, and then he came back to his family's cabin, their summer cabin on the north side of the lake, one of those little shotgun cabins with the screen porch in front. And he was feeling poorly, so he hired a woman, Rose Marie Neerham was her name. He was about 65, she was about 50, and she came to cook for him and to keep house for him. And he fell in love with her, and she with him. She was the widow of Arnie Neerham, this old sour Norwegian who had died about 5 years before. People wondered how they got married. Well, it's not a big mystery. For a brief period of courtship, a man is able to personify a person whom he actually is not. If he's been to the right movies, you know, and he's picked up some moves and a certain tone of voice and a certain glance off into the middle distance, he's able to win the heart of this young woman. And they were seeing each other this same summer that he lost three fingers on his left hand in the corn picker. She was walking across the field, across the stubble toward him, and he was fixing the corn picker, which had gotten jammed, and she called to him, and he looked off just at the moment when the corn picker ate about half of his left hand. And so she was more or less obligated to marry him. If that happens to you, and you are the cause, or you are the enabler of this horrible thing to happen. He became a woodcarver and sort of a farmer, this sour, bitter old Norwegian who sat there in the living room. Nobody cared for him at all. He was a gaunt man with deep-set eyes and thinning hair, and he never smiled, ever smiled. People tried to like him, but they didn't succeed, because it wasn't really what he wanted. And here she was. She was the most vivacious, the most ebullient, outgoing person, strawberry blonde, and a tall, beautiful woman with this melodious laugh and this gorgeous smile that just lit up the room. He stayed at home, and he carved gargoyles out of out of wood, and he just sat there and he composed long, bitter letters in his mind about what was wrong with the world. And she went off to town to dinners and parties and saw people. She was a butterfly in town, this beautiful Rose Marie. And of course he was terribly jealous and worried about what she was doing in town without her, and he followed her sometimes to see. And she'd go down to the church, and Warren Anderson and she served on a committee. And Arnie looked through the basement window of the church one autumn evening and saw her with Warren Anderson, and she was laughing. She was throwing her beautiful head back, and she was laughing. And then she reached down and she touched Warren on the forearm. And Arnie couldn't stand it any longer. He jumped into his pickup and he drove toward home as fast as he could go. And he tried to beat the freight train to the crossing, and he almost succeeded. I guess he was on his way home to get a gun. And instead, he died. That was 5 years before. And now she fell in love with Eugene Rose. And they sat on that front porch, and they held hands, and they kissed, and they talked about making a life together. And they talked about going off on a cruise through Asia, flying to Tokyo, going to Shanghai, Hong Kong, Hawaii, Ho Chi Minh City, Rangoon, Jakarta, Bangkok. And as they were naming the stops on this tour, she could hear the cupboard doors banging, banging in the kitchen of that cottage. She could hear that screen door banging, and she knew that it was Arnie's ghost. He could not contain his jealousy and his rage at what she was doing. It was Reformation Sunday last week. Last Sunday at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, so they all got together to celebrate the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door at Wittenberg, and they sang "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" and opened up the window towards the Catholic Church so the Catholics could hear them. And Pastor Enquist preached on the church door at Wittenberg and that manifesto of Martin Luther's. And there was laughing that broke out in the choir, among the junior choir, there was a boy in the junior choir who thought that he said that Martin Luther had nailed 95 feces to the door of the church at Wittenberg. And this child collapsed in laughter. And of course, when one person laughs, then other people need to know what they're laughing at. And the word went around, and people started to break up. Even very solemn people who had not laughed in a long time, they started to whinny at the thought of the founder of the Lutheran faith with a whole bag full of turds and nailing them to the door of a church. A bag full of manure, and they must have been dry ones, not fresh ones, for him to nail them up. Well, Pastor Enquist went on with his sermon about the meaning of the Reformation, and nobody whatsoever was listening. It took about 10 minutes for this all to pass around and for people to get the word, and some people looked at each other with horror, and other people just laughed, and they couldn't stop laughing. And the more they tried to stifle it, then it suddenly burst out into these odd sort of whinnying laughs. And then somebody let a huge fart and from trying to suppress laughter. It just blew up. And then, of course, everybody exploded in laughter, and the sermon had to come to a halt. And he waited for people to quiet down. So they had this in their minds, Martin Luther there with turds in his hand. And then when it came to the prayers, and they had to pray for their sister church in the Upper Peninsula, Zion Lutheran of the UP. Then it all got started again. And people laughed and laughed. People sitting there, solemn, serious Lutherans, they just couldn't help it. Things came out of their noses, things came out, and they sat there, and they were quiet for a while, and then Marilyn Tollerud, who'd been down in the basement fixing donuts for the fellowship hour, came up, and she heard about the 95 feces, and she just started screaming and laughing from up in the choir loft, and then Tibby Markland, the organist, she started laughing, and she put her foot down accidentally on a bass pedal, and this long, low groan came out, which sounded like an old man sitting on the throne who was passing a very difficult one. So everybody had to laugh at that. The sermon came crashing to an end. And then Pastor Enquist looked down and saw that the first communion hymn was "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." So they skipped communion and they just went to the closing hymn. It was a great service. It was a wonderful service. It was just what everybody needed. They didn't know it, but they needed it. And the sermon, of course, he can recycle that. That can all come back later. Rosemarie was going to spend the night with Eugene Rose at his summer cabin, and she went back to her house to pack her overnight bag. And she could hear footsteps upstairs. It was Arnie, moving around, restless. She got everything fixed, and she turned out the lights. And she was ready to go. She could feel this cold, cold air moving through. "You've got to leave me alone," she said. "You've got to leave me alone and do what you have to do, Arnie. Life goes on." She took all of his gargoyles that he had left her, 16 of them, horribly ugly wooden figures, some of them sticking their tongues out, leering, squinting. She took the whole armload of them, and she put them into the fireplace, and she burned them all up, down to cinders. Beautiful, strawberry blonde woman. She walked out of the house with her overnight bag in her hand. She stood on the front lawn, Indian summer night, getting cool out. She said, "Rest in peace, Arnie, and light eternal light shine down upon you. And life, Arnie, goes on. She got into the car, and then she saw she had forgotten to turn out the lights in the house. They were all on, blazing. She was about to get up, get out, walk to the house, and turn them out. And they suddenly all went out, every light. She started the car, and she backed it out of the driveway, and she headed down the road towards town. And the road around the north side of the lake towards where that lovely man was waiting for her in a little cabin with one candle in the window. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.
Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from Home-Baked Grand's Biscuits from Pillsbury, now also available in your grocer's freezer. Make as many as you need to warm up your morning. With a breakfast this grand, home is calling.